Welcome again to the Dish Talk Show. I'm your host, Pamela. You can follow me on Instagram at orangefanting. And you can also follow my self-help mental health page called easylife.ng. And also definitely follow the Dish on Instagram at the Dish Talk Show and on Twitter at the Dish Talk Show. Today I have no guests with me. I'm just here alone to educate. And like I said, it's a new lesson every episode. So today I just want to talk about my journey to self-discovery and also help you embark on your own journey to self-discovery and upgrade your mindset. And before I start, I've always loved to do my affirmations before I start, and I really have some very powerful affirmations. You can also write this down if you like it. You can also say it with me as I say it. You can just say it after on your own time, whatever. So I'm just going to start with my affirmations first because I don't want to forget about it. So the first affirmation I'm saying is, my actions create prosperity. My actions create prosperity. Number two is, I am full of positive loving energy. I am full of positive loving energy. Number three is, I forgive myself and I set myself free. I forgive myself and I set myself free. Number four is, I am enough. I am enough. And the last, number five, is my possibilities are endless. My possibilities are endless. Okay, so today I just want to talk about discovering yourself and upgrading your mindset. And I chose to talk about this because this is the root cause of so many issues we are currently facing right now in the world. And most people interacted with people without even knowing who I was, or even having the time to even take time, sorry, or even taking out time to sit and ask myself, who am I and what is my purpose, or what am I doing with my life, and what are the things about myself that are flawed that I've been repressing over the years and I haven't taken time to address. So many questions I didn't ask, and so many questions most people aren't asking themselves. I just want to give you a brief background story as to how I started my journey to self-discovery, or even before I even started thinking about it, because I knew nothing about self-discovery. I just got out of a very, very horrible relationship, and I was literally alone for a very long time. And during this period, I started asking myself questions. I knew nothing about self-discovery or whatever any discovery meant. I just started asking myself questions, and so many things I had questions about. I'm naturally a deep thinker. I would call myself an overthinker, and I use that flaw to my advantage unknowingly. Started asking questions like, why do I behave like this? Because for you to start thinking about self-discovery, you have to be, to some extent, not delusional, and be aware of your flaws and be aware of your behaviors that are causing you emotional harm or putting you in situations where you can experience trauma. So I noticed certain things about myself, and then I started asking myself, why do I behave like this? Or why does everyone around me complain about this and this, you know, trait I have? why do I behave like this? Why do I feel this way? I started asking myself questions like, why am I only interested in being this way? Because growing up, I was always withdrawn from everybody and drawn from everything. Whenever I enter a new school, because I always change school growing up, I spent the first year alone. so crazy. I spent first year, at least the first year alone. When I mean alone, I mean just by myself. No, but not talking to anybody. I, in fact, would even be doing so horribly in school because I had so much anxiety to talk to people and ask about what's the class about, their notes, and I always resume late. So definitely I would have to meet up, and because of my social anxiety, I wouldn't have the courage to ask people, or I would feel like I it's just like an awkward situation for me, talking to somebody I don't know. It's a deeper level of shyness. It's not just basic shyness, it's I just don't want to put myself in an awkward situation right now to be asking somebody I don't know. It's just very awkward for me, so I just prefer to be on my own and find out as I go. So I spend mostly at least a year alone every time I change school, primary school, secondary school. I noticed it started to peak when I went into university. I spent 4 years withdrawn from everybody. And most people will see me then and be like, this girl is such a snob, this girl is such a meanie, she's so rude. Even though most people haven't spoken to me at that point, she's so rude, she's so weird. Yes, I got weird a lot. She's so weird because I spend most of my time alone back in uni, and that was way before I discovered myself, and that was my actions then stemmed from my social anxiety. And I usually just take walks alone in the dark, not really in the dark but at night, but like alone in the very lonely walkway. I really enjoyed it because there was nobody around me. I loved, still do love being alone. It was like my safe place, it was like my safe haven, because you know, when I'm alone, I'm free to be myself. There's nobody around me to judge me. There's nobody, you know, around me to say, to criticize me or to make me feel in any way anxious or awkward. If you listen to the last podcast about insecurities, I mentioned this about my insecurity, the social anxiety, obviously stemmed from trauma and childhood trauma. So that was my way of, or that was my brain's way of protecting me from experiencing more trauma by withdrawing myself from everybody and being alone. So that was literally me all through uni. So when I left uni, and I was in a relationship, when I got out from a relationship, it was a really bad breakup, and I spent so much time alone going through my breakup. Because when you're going through breakup, it's usually like malaria and typhoid. For some people though, but some people who are savages, they don't feel anything. But for big empaths like me, like empathetic people, it's a lot, because we are very emotional people and we feel other people's pain just the same way they are feeling it at the moment. And we are over critical about ourselves. So yeah, it was very difficult, and I spent time alone. I started asking myself questions and started responding. So I started like, okay, because going through the heartbreak was, I was having like crazy mood swings and very, very low times of depression, and then very high times of, very, very few high times of happiness. Even before I broke up, I was having like insomnia and depression. It's almost like my body was ready for a new, for an upgrade. Yes, like for an upgrade. So I experienced that for a year. Although, like, Instagram account. I was just on my own crying and being depressed. Not because I wasn't crying because of my relationship ended badly. I was crying because I was like, why can't anything work out for me? Like, why is it that I don't know how to interact with people? I felt that I blamed myself because I felt that I didn't even know how to communicate well because of my social anxiety, or maybe because I have social anxiety and I don't know what people like, because I don't know what people want and what they... I really, you know, battled with actually knowing what people want or like, other people like, because I was always on my own. So I was like, see, I didn't do it well. Or was I doing it too much? Or was I... What do people do at this point in their life when they're in a relationship today? I don't know anything about that. And I was just really blaming myself about that. And I started thinking about, wait, why am I always like this? Like, why can't I just be normal and interact with everybody and be part of the group? Or will I say part of the group? Or why can't I be part of, you know... Why can't I be part of like how everybody makes friends? I had very few friends, and those friends were all my classmates. All of them were all my classmates, and we just had to be friends because we're in the same course. If we weren't in the same course, I don't even know if we would be friends, because not because they were not good people, just because of my anxiety at the time. So I didn't know anything about anybody and how anybody would like to be treated, or what should I say to him? I don't know what to say to him. What do guys like being told? I do not know anything. So I really was feeling like, oh, my social anxiety is causing me a lot of trauma. And I started asking myself, why do I behave like this? Where did it start? And I started remembering how I was always alone as a child, and I always like used to go through, you know, issues with my school as a child, and how it used to make me feel sad, and how I used to be scolded badly for it, and how I developed so much fear around that topic. So that really was, I think, one of the root causes of my trauma. And I started exploring that. I'm like, okay, how do you feel about this? There are days that I'll sit down and be talking to myself. It sounds so very, it sounds so crazy. But sometimes it's actually, this is why therapy is important, because when going to therapy, you are opening up and talking about, letting it out of your system to a therapist. And me, I had no access to, I didn't have any access to a therapy session or a therapist. And secondly was, I was the only person on earth that I trusted enough to talk about it to. That's me and God. And I felt it's just me, so obviously I felt so free talking to myself about it. And I was just sitting and talking to myself. I like to refer at that moment, as I was speaking, I also imagined myself speaking to God. I was like literally talking to God, because I remember growing up, and when I was in primary 4, that was my last memory of this. I don't know whether I went further now, but I remember always talking to God in empty classrooms. I'd be asking God, why can't I do well in school? Why I've been trying? I can't, you know, pass, whatever. So I started talking to God again. I felt like I was talking, and it actually felt like literally I wasn't hearing God's voice or anything. No, I just felt like God was in my presence, because I was alone. And I would express these things about my past, and I would cry, and I'll be like, you know, literally, it's like going, I would describe self-discovery as going, like your life and yourself is like a house. Everybody's life is like a house or a room. I like to use house.
So most people live their lives in other people's houses. They do not, they've never walked into their house to even say, okay, you know, what does my house have? You know, what does my house even look like? Most people live, yes, even most people live all their life in other people's houses. What do I mean by this analogy is, most people live, go through life without even looking inwards and finding out who they really are and why they really are. You know, why am I behaving in a certain way? They have not gotten to that level of self-awareness to even look inwards. So, no, most people do that and they don't go into their house. I mean, they live their life in other people's houses. So, literally, my self-discovery was basically me being forced into my house. Yes, I was forced into entering my house because there was literally nobody around me. There was nobody's house to be around. All my friends were living their life. I mean, they started their life, they were doing their businesses and everything, and I was at this point in my life, and it was time for me to, you know, go into my house, look around and find out what it looks like and find out why certain things are like this. So that was what I was looking inwards into myself. I was forced to look inwards, and as I came into my house, like I'm trying to describe with this analogy of your house being yourself and your life, I walked into my life and myself, and I looked around and I'm like, okay, when you come into your house, that's when you start looking inwards. You ask yourself, okay, I noticed that my door is painted yellow, and I noticed that my house is an all-white house, or my house is my house is lacking color, is lacking variety. You know, why is my house lacking variety? Look at the parts of your house that are flawed, and then ask yourself two questions. These are two very important questions of self-discovery, and nobody even taught me this. I had to experience it by myself. Two very important questions when you find out all your flaws, when you look inwards and see all your flaws, or, oh, I see that I don't like this part of my body, or I see that there's this part of me that is causing me to behave this way, it's causing me to be not trusting of people. Why? You know, all these things, all your flaws and all your positive aspects of yourself. And then you ask yourself two very important questions when you notice these things. And one of the very important questions is, what do I want to do about this? Do I want to, one, accept it for how it is? I say, okay, well, this is my house, this is who I am, this is my personality, this is who I am. I accept myself like this, I love myself like this, this is who I am. Still, that's still self-discovery, and that's still you going through self-discovery, and that's still you flourishing after going through. Because if you accept yourself how you are, I mean, those aspects of yourself that do not affect other people's mental health too, like if there are certain aspects of yourself, like your flaws that affect other people, like you being selfish or you being insensitive and so many other, you know, flaws that can affect other people negatively, or maybe you fantasize about raping people, or you fantasize about maybe you are a pedophile, something that, or you like to steal, you know, where is the stealing habit coming from? You know, these things I just listed, and so many others are all the kind of flaws that I know that can affect other people's lives negatively. So you, aside from those flaws, there are some flaws that do not affect anybody's life negatively, like being gay or liking to dress a specific way. Yes, other people will be like, oh my gosh, you're so weird, why are you dressing like this? But it doesn't really, you know, cause them any trauma, it doesn't really do anything to them. Those are the kind of things that you should say, okay, I want to accept these things about myself. I accept the fact that I am this way. I accept the fact that I like the color pink, even though it's not masculine according to society. I accept the fact that I like color pink, and I'm going to embrace myself, and I'm going to be more free, you know, to wear color pink anytime. Color pink sounds so weird. I'm saying color pink, it sounds so weird. To wear pink whenever I want to wear pink. I want to wear sneakers with a blazer, whatever it could be. Or I want to cut my hair. I don't like my hair. Or I feel that I'm more attracted to this gender, or I feel like I identify as this gender. Whatever, as long as it's not affecting others, you accept it. And the second thing is to decide if you want to change it. And that's when you talk about those flaws about yourself that are affecting other people negatively. For me, mine was stubbornness. I feel stubbornness. My stubbornness was affecting me too negatively, and was also affecting people around me negatively. So I said, oh, okay, I think I want to try to, you know, curb this habit. I don't want to say it's a habit, but it's a bad trait I had. Still going through it, but I'm more aware of it, which is something compared to being unaware of it. So I decided that I would be more aware of my bad traits, which is being very stubborn. That's just one of my bad traits I identified, and work on conforming myself, or reforming myself. What's it, conforming? Reforming myself and healing, you know, past relationship that has been destroyed due to this flaw. So, well, the first thing to know about, okay, let me talk more on the two. We are already going into self-discovery, and this is how to go to self-discovery. If you're listening, you're already there. If you're listening to this right now, if you saw the topic and you clicked it, you are ready to go to self-discovery, and you want to go to self-discovery. So let's talk about, I have discovered that I want to elevate my way of thinking. I want to elevate my mindset, you know, because when you go to self-discovery, you become a different person. I'm going to talk more on that later on, but you become a different, and this is facts, because I can testify. But let me talk about the first thing to do when you start looking inwards and seeing all your flaws and your positive traits, your negative traits, obviously, because everybody has positive and negative traits. The first thing, let's talk about accepting your flaws that do not affect other people negatively. Like, if you're insecure about your insecurities, that's one of your flaws. You could have like so many insecurities, like, I don't like the color of my hair, I don't like the color of my skin, I don't like the fact that I have acne, I don't like the fact that my eye is this shape, or my leg is this shape, or my nose is too big, or those things you do not like about yourself. That's one major, I'm not going to classify them under insecurities, which is one flaw. Let's focus on that you can use others to have your references. So insecurities, for example, you look inwards and you see you have a flaw with insecurities, which is limiting you. These type of flaws limit you from going places and being great, from greatness. Because you're born for greatness, you are so talented, and you're born for greatness, and you're born to do amazing things, you're born to impact lives, you're born to, you know, make a way, because nothing happens for nothing. You will not be existing if you're just useless. There's nothing on earth that's useless. There is absolutely nothing on earth that is useless. You can Google, go and ask whoever you want to ask. Sorry, I said ask. Go and ask whoever you want to ask. There's nothing on earth that is useless. So why do you think you are useless? You are very important, and you should get to the point where you can see that important, and allow yourself to flourish and curb those things and those overcome those things that are stopping you from flourishing and being that person that restricting. Because mine was the social anxiety and fear that, I don't know, I think it was just the awkward moment. I hated being around everybody. I just wanted to get, if I go somewhere, I want to get the hell out of there immediately, because I was just like, this is where everybody's here, there's so much people here, oh my god, it's overwhelming for me. So when you look at those, let you look at your insecurities, when you start looking inwards, you find out about your insecurities. Oh, I have insecurities. Oh my gosh, it's one big flaw. You have to look at them one by one. Like the sample is, oh, no, well, let's say you are insecure about your, let's say the color of your skin, and you've always been bleaching because you've been living in another person's life, house, which is also their life example, using the same analogy of life and house, personality and house, whatever. You've been in another person's house, and what they were doing in their house, that was what you were doing, because you see your friend is bleaching her skin because she doesn't like it, and you see, or maybe you've been looking out in society and you've been seeing that, oh my god, girls are bleaching their skins, girls are getting BBLs or whatever. No offense to anybody getting BBL, I'm just saying that if you go through self-discovery, you realize that you're so beautiful, like you are art. You don't need to turn yourself to everybody else. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, you have to discover that you are art, and art does not repeat itself. I don't know. So back to what I was saying. And then you start bleaching your skin. And then you now start bleaching your skin, and you've not started, or maybe you've been trying to use a very light color on your face, or maybe your foundation is lighter than your real complexion, you know, maybe you've been doing that. But then you start going to self-discovery and discover this insecurity of yours. This is the time you accept it. You look at yourself and be like, you know what? This is the color of my skin. If I want to bleach it from now to tomorrow, the day I stop bleaching myself, or you know, making myself look different from what I originally am or was created as, I still will turn back to black, because this is what I am. This is literally why I am unique. This is literally why I am unique. Now, you accept that, because let me tell you why it's important to accept these things about yourself that is making you feel like you're not good enough. You accept it, because these things about yourself that you are trying to hide and you are trying to hate, and you're trying to hide, are literally, and I'm going to say this with the most confidence, these things are literally the keys to the doors of your blessings in life. Because these things about you were given to you, were made for you and given to you. This skin color that is on your body was, have you seen when or where people make paint? They're trying to make new colors of paint, and they add orange and they add red or whatever, yellow or whatever, to create a new color. Your skin color was literally crafted uniquely for you uniquely to fit in your life and your life story. So if you turn yourself to another person by changing the color of your skin or hiding this aspect of yourself, or you know, I'm talking about the flaws that are affecting you negatively, you are literally delaying your blessings, because because I want to reference a girl, a model. I think her name is Whitney Harlow or something. I can't remember. I think it's Whitney Harlow or something. She has skin disorder or something, where some parts of her skin is blonde, light, and some parts is black, and it looks. She was saying that when she was growing up, people called her a cow because that's literally how cows pattern the pattern on the cow's body is. If she kept hiding it, because most people with that disorder hiding with the foundation and body foundation or whatever, if she had kept hiding it, she wouldn't have stood up and be unique, and she wouldn't have been able to achieve the greatness she achieved in her life. I'm very sure growing up she would have thought, why is my skin like this? I'm so ugly, I don't look like everybody else. Or why is my leg like this? Or why is it that my face is like this? Or she would have questioned at some point. But now, see the door of blessing it has opened for her. So this is why it's important to accept at this point. When you discover all those flaws, all those things that you hate about yourself, just say, how to do this is, let me give you an exercise. Take off all your clothes. Not now, obviously, when you're alone. Or maybe after you shower. After you shower, you're obviously not wearing any clothes. You take off when you're alone, maybe in your room, you lock your door. Stand in front of the mirror. Right? Stand in front of the mirror. You can on the light. I remember when I used to have bad acne, I had very, very, people that knew me know that I had bad acne growing up. Bad acne. I still have some scars on my face because the acne was bad. Was the acne my fault? No. If I had the power, I wouldn't give myself acne, but it wasn't my fault. But I had acne, but now I have the scars from acne. But my acne is all gone now, but I have the scars still there. I hated looking at myself in the mirror in bright light. I would go to the shadows. If you have acne, I'm pretty sure you can also relate to what I'm saying. I will go to the shadows and look at myself, we'll do my makeup in shadows, because I don't want to, because when I see myself out in the broad, I could not look at myself in the mirror outside, or when I'm passing outside in the mirror, I don't look at myself. And another thing was, I could not look at myself up close. I would take the mirror far from my face because I just didn't like how myself. That was prior to my journey. Go to the mirror, stand in front of the mirror, look at yourself, look at the art that was created by God, and then look at those parts of your body that does not rhyme with everybody's body, and like society, everybody in society, the rules. Did I say the rules of society or whatever, what everybody glorifies? Or maybe you have a little bit of stretch mark here, or you have a big birthmark on your leg, or something that's out of the ordinary, right? And then just tell yourself, I accept you, I love you, you are beautiful. I prefer to say I when I'm talking to myself. Or you can do you are, you can say, you can call yourself, because me, I did that sometimes, but I'm out and I just casually just remember, or that sometimes when I remember some things about myself that I didn't like, and I just tell myself, you are so beautiful Pamela. And then I'll look at myself. Sometimes I force myself to go out and look at go and look at your skin out in the public, out in a place where it's so bright, where the light is shining well. And I looked at myself and I told myself, you are beautiful. Affirm this. Words are powerful. Your words are very powerful. The reason why you didn't like those things about yourself was because you kept telling yourself you don't like it. If you change it up and start telling yourself, I love you, you're beautiful, you're strong, you're intelligent, you deserve better. Don't look at all these things about yourself. Regardless of this, you are beautiful. Affirm this to yourself and believe it. No, about, oh, I like this pattern. I know, but you have to be, because let me tell you something, in life, it's just you, Annette. You were born into a family, but at the end of the day, it's just you. And it's important for you to accept these things about yourself in order to make your journey swift and fast and beautiful. So that's the first aspect. You do that, you accept these things, and then if there are some things about yourself that some habits that are harming you but not harming others, like maybe being eating unhealthy, being lazy, being, you know, watching movie from morning to night and not trying to plan your life or achieve your goals or achieve a goal, or when you're in school you don't want to focus in school, you're not disciplined, nobody's criticizing, I mean, I've been there, these things were really harming me, because at some point literally it was harming me because of my grades were going down. So my grades were going down and I literally had no positive, view of myself. Positive view of myself, sorry, hold on a second. Sorry about that. I don't even, I'm gonna cut this, but let's just get back to my sound stops. I had a positive view of myself and my grades were suffering, my life was suffering, I was broke as hell, very broke. These are things that are eating me up literally because of my habits, and I found those in when I started looking inwards and said, I will fix these too. I will accept those things that harming me, that mindset that's harming me, I wouldn't accept the mindset that's harming me. I'm going to change that mindset that's harming me and accept myself, accept my flaws, accept everything. This is who I am. There's nothing I can do about it. This is me. I can't hide forever. I have to be free. I want to breathe. I want to be free enough to enjoy life well. Not when everybody's like out swimming. I can't swim because I've put makeup on my face and I don't want anybody to see what I look like without makeup, or I don't want anybody to see my acne. When I can be enjoying myself in the ocean and be swimming and enjoying the beautiful earth I was put in. So I set myself free and I started fixing up the things that I was doing that was eating me up and eating my life up, like being lazy, you know, not thinking about my goals or anything, or having any goals, just wasting my life away and not being disciplined to say, okay, yes, it's good to have fun, yes, you can go out, you can go out clubbing or whatever, but don't make it an everyday thing. I mean, that's not all you have, but you're like, you're here for, you have goals, you need to achieve things. So that was what I did. I fixed that about myself. I told myself, okay, Pamela, it's time for you to be more disciplined. You have to start saving your money. You can't be spending your money anyhow. You have to have a savings plan. What savings plan is, I'm pretty sure you don't know what it is. Google it, find out what it is, and then start doing it. It was not a it's not, I'm not gonna say it's something you tell yourself and then you start doing. No, the fact that you identify this flaw is enough, because when you fall, you stand. Because at first I start to save, then I slip up, and I remind, obviously I've already identified this flaw, so it's out, it's no longer hidden. You know, there's a difference between not knowing you have a bad spending habit and knowing you have a bad spending habit and wanting to change it. So that was how, you know, I fixed that. So another thing is, your flaws that I'm gonna try to talk fast because time is going up. The flaws that affect other people negatively, like mine I said was stubbornness, yours can be sensitivity, rude, very, very rude way of talking, maybe insulting people. You know, so many people have different types of flaws that affect other people. And I'm making, if you think about it, you think about how many people on this planet that haven't even looked inwards and are having all those kind of negative behaviors that affect other people negatively, that are literally also affect you negatively in this world. Imagine that, and then imagine 7 billion people having, or like let's say 6 billion people having that. Imagine how horrible the world would be. Literally, that's why the world is the way it is like now. Selfishness, everybody's fighting for themselves. Nobody has tried to fix or even know what is wrong with them. That's another topic. So you fix that. You try as much as you can to stop it. Even though you don't feel their pain, maybe you might not be empathetic enough to feel their pain, but you stop it, because if you plant seeds of negativity in other people's life, you are also, if you do horrible things to people, say horrible things to people, treat them badly, you are planting seeds of negativity in your life. You are literally going into their life to harvest the seeds of the negativity they've probably planted with somebody else, people they've planted because they've been horrible to other people, and you carry it, and then you plant it in your own life. And that's why things will slow for you sometimes. And that's why people talk about karma. Most people don't believe in karma. They think, oh my God, that's just some chakra bullshit or astrology. It's not. It is very, very real. And it has nothing to do with spirituality. It's just the rule of life. If you plant a seed that, you know, grows to be an apple tree, it's going to be an apple tree that will grow. Just the same way, if you plant seeds of negativity in your life, or you plant seeds of negativity in other people's life, that is what is going to grow. You're literally going to, like, what you give is what you get. You're giving to the earth a seed, you're getting to harvest the fruit. So if you plant negative seeds, where you harvest is negative fruits, and then that will literally slow down. Oh my God, when did I get this job? I work so hard. When did I get this job? You know, I am so qualified. When did they pick me? We've all gone through that. I have done so many horrible things that I have suffered the consequences for. It's not as if anything like God is punishing you for it. It's just a rule of life. Never had there been a time a farmer would plant maize, and then when he comes to his farm, he sees trees of apple trees, orange trees, not possible. Whenever he plants maize, it's maize that was gonna grow. So literally, that's the rule of life. Nobody, no spirituality, you know, evolved. Literally, the fact. That's the second part of self-discovery. So the last part is, when you go through this part, and when you've talked to yourself about these things, when you've started affirming positive things on yourself, and when you have a full understanding about your insecurities and curbing your insecurities, because you realize that this is who you are. You did not cause this. Insecurities, literally, indirectly, is like you blaming yourself for the horrible things that you think. You know, oh my God, my nose is big and it's not as good enough. I feel insecure about this, and therefore I would change it because I want to get the validation. Because validation is like literally people telling you, you know, sorry, validation is literally like a fuel, like food. So you feel better about yourself for a moment when people tell you, oh, you're beautiful. finally they can now tell you you're beautiful, your nose is fine, because it now looks like everybody's own, you know.
So before I talk about the last thing, I don't know how much time I have left. I have to work this and okay, a few minutes left. I want to really talk about self-love, and that's I spoke about, like, accepting yourself. We need to love ourselves. We need to love ourselves. We are good people. You treat people with kindness. You give out your time to, you know, help your friends and help your neighbor, but you've neglected yourself. It's time to show yourself love. For me, it was very difficult to show myself love because there's this thing they recited. There's this rhyme they recited in primary school. It goes, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, myself last, and others in between. That's literally who I am. God first, others second, and me last. Don't even consider myself. I can literally have money, but I won't use the money to actually get things for myself. I will be giving it out because it made me happy, see other people happy, because I could also feel the happiness they feel because I'm an empathetic person. It's difficult for me to actually treat myself because my happiness was coming from other people. And I'm here to say to you, whoever is listening, male or female, they or we, whatever you identify as, love yourself. Put your love on yourself. Love yourself. Show yourself love. Take yourself out. Take yourself out. You must not wait for friends before you take yourself out. Take yourself on a date. Take yourself out. Eat your favorite meal. You know, do the things you love. You don't need other people to enjoy life. You don't actually. Experience beautiful things. Take yourself out to experience beautiful things. Live your life so you can experience beautiful things. If you treat yourself with love, you accept things that will lead to happiness and peace in your life, because if you think about it like now, you're loving somebody, you're making their life easier by helping them. Help yourself, make your life easier. Avoid problems, avoid situations that will lead to trauma. And another thing I'm going to talk about very importantly is, and the next thing I'm going to be talking about is relationships, but I just want to round up on this. This is getting kind of, time is almost up. Another thing is, when other people are not loving themselves, therefore projecting their self-hatred onto you, that's on them. That's not on you. That's on them. If you think about it using the rule of life, where is the origin of the hate they are putting on you coming from? Is it not from them? That's their hate, not your hate. So do not collect it and then turn it to self-hate. Love yourself. Important. Take out time to, you can start by buying yourself something that you always wanted. Invest in yourself. Get that laptop, get that phone, get that apartment, get that car if you can afford it, instead of going to give out the money or spending it on somebody else that literally you are not 100% sure, but because you were trying to get validation from. Give yourself that validation. Get yourself that car. Force yourself to enjoy that car. Force yourself to enjoy that experience. Force yourself to enjoy that peace of mind of nobody is making me cry, or I'm not, you know, checking on somebody and it's like, or he or she is like, oh my God, you're not responding to me, or I'm feeling bad. Don't put yourself in that situation to experience that. That's self-love. And that's where I'm going to end this podcast. That note, I'm going to end this podcast. Thank you guys, honestly, for, I have two listeners, I've been three listeners so far, and I really appreciate it, because
I know it's a journey, and I know with time my message will get to places that and to people that really need it. I really need to hear it. I really need to use it and to learn something from it. Also, on this app called Anchor, you can literally send me voice messages explaining or asking me questions on anything you want to ask me. You just go to the Apple Store or the Play Store and download the Anchor app. My channel is The Dish Talk Show. You just literally search for The Dish Talk Show and you see my channel. I don't know whether it's called the channel or I don't know what it's called, but literally my profile. And there's a place where you can just literally listen to my podcast and send me voice messages. If you're too lazy to type, you can also like send me private messages and questions on things you want to find out about. I'm going to be doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday podcasts. I think I'll have a guest on Sunday, but I'm not sure. But at least you will be dropping some very important messages this weekend. You can follow The Dish Talk Show on Instagram at The Dish Talk Show. That's HDISHH. And on Twitter at The Dish Talk Show with just one H. And you can also follow me on Instagram, Orange Fontaine, or you can follow my self-help mental health page, that's easylife.ng, to read so many things that you'll be really, really educated on. I'll try to put out more content, and I really wish you guys the best. And please stay tuned for my next podcast.